Sorry we're a little late, we're going to get started here with our city council meeting. I'd like to welcome everyone now tonight to our February 15th, 2023 regular city council meeting. We're going to start tonight with Sam Leavis and the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by Rondi offering the opening prayer.
Everybody repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear Father in heaven, grateful to gather here together and as a community to work on making Mount Pleasant a better place to live. We want to give thee thanks for the blessings we enjoy here, for the protection thou bestows upon us, and for all our needs that are met through thy blessings. We pray the blessing and protection will be upon people who live here in Mount Pleasant and the employees of this city. For our law enforcement also, thy protection be upon them. We pray that we may have thy guidance as we direct the affairs of this great place to live. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next we'll have a roll call.
Lynn.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Rondi.
Here.
Sam.
Here.
All right, next up is approval of our January 10th, 2023 regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
I'll make motion to approve minutes for January 10th, 2023 regular city council.
I'll second.
Yeah, the motion by Paul, second by Russell to approve the January 10th, 2023 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our January 18th special city council meeting work session we held at 6 p.m. We give Shay our wish list. Huh?
My turn?
No, I was just saying that's our whole meeting, just giving you our wish list.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for our 18 January 2023, 6 p.m. special council meeting.
I'll second it.
Yeah, the motion by Russell, seconded by Sam to approve January 18th special city council meeting held at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of the minutes of the January 24th, 2023 regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
Motion to accept minutes of January 24, 2023, 6:30 regular meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Here, the motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi to approve the January 24th minutes of the regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of a transaction register dated 1-1 of 2023 to 1-31 of 2023, in the amount of a minus $827.71.
Oh, that's something good. Keep that full sale.
Yeah.
Full sale.
Yep. A lot of paperwork, isn't there?
I'll make a motion that we approve transaction register 1-1 of 2023 to 1-31 of 2023, in the amount of $827.71. Negative.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Rondi, to approve the transaction register dated 1-1-23 to 1-31 of 23, in the amount of a negative $827.71. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Next is approval of claims and requisitions. Claim register dated 1-21 of 23 to 2-10 of 23, in the amount of $584,691.25.
Remind me, I think you told me before, is it the Amazon concessions? Is that for the pool, right?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
There's so many, it's easier just to write concessions.
No.
Through the whole list.
I thought that's what you told me before. I just didn't check.
Yeah.
Six lights or what they all, they must have had some kind of deal for them.
They had a Christmas party for them.
Well, $59. They didn't have much, but.
Where's that?
And then they had some trainings, I know, too.
Not the trainings, yeah.
This is probably the training.
That's what I say. I don't know where they ate, but I want to find that place if the food was good.
It was a training.
I guess the auto parts over here is Bose now?
Yes. Yep.
I was curious that, okay.
As of January 1st.
I did hear, and I sold it, I didn't hear the bottom of it.
I didn't even know that.
Yep.
So what do you think it is, huh? They're closed?
No, it's.
No, it's all.
It's under Bose instead of.
Express.
Express.
Oh, okay.
He owns the Star paper.
I didn't know it's closed. I seen some outfits there.
No, it's just a name change.
Bradshaw guy owns it now.
Back to the original Bradshaw?
Yeah. The Bradshaw family.
Great grandson?
I don't know.
$368,000, that's the power bill.
Yeah, he'll end up getting tricked into the UM still.
Yeah.
Biggest it's ever been.
Did they run gas to the public workshop? Maybe that's, no, I think gas at cemetery either.
Is that at the?
Why are they charging us gas for a public workshop?
Is that at the?
The tender shed, isn't it?
Tender shed?
I don't know what's labeled as public workshop.
That's just what it's always been called since I was here. I don't know for sure.
Just made just a mislabeling. So.
I just go off of what I'm told. I don't know where all the buildings are and where all the gas goes, so.
We probably have to change that so it ain't confusing to put it as fire, just fire tender shed or something.
Is there a gas on here for the tender shed?
I've never noticed it, but.
I know it was.
That's the first I've ever seen it as public workshop, so I'm just curious. But we did,
I know on the bill it still comes to 90 South.
To 90 South?
90 South, 900 East.
Yeah, that's probably.
That's out there, yes. 15 cents a kilo.
Yeah.
Well, if nobody has any more questions, anybody? I'll make a motion that we approve invoice register from 121.23 to 210.23 in the amount of. $584,691.25.
Yeah, the motion by Russell, seconded by Paul, to approve claim register dated 121 of 23 to 210 of 23 in the amount of $584,691.25. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
All right, requisitions. First one I have is from Public Works to Stoltz, Nephi, requisition 20230214-1545 for a new John Deere lawnmower. The amount of $3,960.
What's the bulk of it?
So you gotta catch your grass and stuff.
So it shreds the grass up smaller because they don't catch it.
So do we get any other prices besides just one?
He called Hermanson's and Hermanson's don't even have any mowers. He didn't know when they would get any. And John Deere has them in now. They couldn't get them last year.
So this is for a new mower and a mulching kit?
Yes, for out to the cemetery.
No,
it's a 42 inch deck.
I think the one we have been over at Cox's, I mean several times, hasn't it, for
the one we
repair
took,
work?
We took over to Stoltz's and they said it wasn't worth fixing.
Is that the same one they had at Cox's last, maybe?
No, no.
It's a different one. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably a pretty good price for a mower.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's needed because we need a load to get between those headstones and stuff like that. This is, yeah. I think it's a good price too. I don't think you're going to get one for any cheaper than that with the mulching kit and everything.
That's about what I paid for mine.
Is your commercial, it's a commercial one, isn't it?
Yeah, I said it was. Yeah.
Okay, I'll make the motion that you, go with the request of 20230214-1545 for the amount of $3,960. Oh, to Stoltz's, Stoltz's.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Lynn, seconded by Sam, to approve requisition 2023-02-14-15-45 to Stoltz for 42-inch John Deere lawnmower, the amount of $3,960. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Yes.
Next requisition, we don't have a number on it. Terry R. Brotherson Excavation, 500 feet of water line out in the industrial park, $43,052.
So the right question is, okay, I didn't get my sewer line up there because it costs too much. Why can't we do this in-house or else have Paul do it? Paul can still do special projects. Save the city some money.
Biggest thing we got is we don't have a, they'd have to take one of the snow plows off. We don't have a dump truck. All the dump trucks have got snow plows and sanders in.
How long does it take?
Yeah, we can take one off one anyhow.
What do you need a dump truck for?
Haul the rocks off, haul the sand in.
Get all the sand in and haul the...
Haul the track go out there.
We can contract that, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Have somebody haul it in for us.
Is this gonna be paid for by the RDA? Come out of the RDA or?
I think it's got to, because that's part of that.
The only other question I had is I thought we talked about a hydrant on this.
Yeah.
He is putting the hydrant on.
Is it, so there'll be fire hydrant?
I just think we'd save a lot of money by doing it in-house.
So your hydrants will be about $5,000 a piece, so give you three more.
Well, it's one, because we're only going 500 feet, so we put one right at the very end. Is the way Coulter figured it.
Okay. It'd be over 500 feet though because of the last ones across the road on the other side.
So where's the line, explain to me, I guess, where's the line coming from? Where are they tying it in?
They stubbed it across, what is that road doing?
I call it...
Lindbergh.
Yeah, they stubbed it across there when they put that new water line in.
On to the west side, correct?
And it's on the east side.
East side.
On the east side.
And they stubbed it across there, it's capped.
So we probably have it, in my opinion, you gotta put one at the end and one where you tie on.
Well, where you tie on, there's one just across the road.
So there's already one there.
It would probably have to go up on that next property line, just past those two new buildings. That would be more in conjunction with what's there or, you know.
Currently.
Well, I think we'd probably save at least a third or even more.
Always looking at the...
Part of the trouble we do have is Coulter's off the rest this week. Him and Austin are going to water school. Raider's off probably for a week. He just had a new baby. So we are shorthanded as far as public works guys.
Well, so we have to hire Paul or to pay Paul and somebody to work with him. I mean,
either way, we just gotta get it done.
Paul, you don't make things on about
our guys doing it.
How much do we save on that?
Because it'd be nice if we get some potholes patched.
It would be in between $15,000 and $20,000.
Of course, in about this.
Water lines,
it would be nice to have some patching done.
Take that long to put it in.
There's some pretty significant potholes out there.
How soon could you get to?
In the industrial park?
No, over town.
Oh, yeah.
There's a fire hydrant right here.
What you're saying is pulling them off of doing that and go to a water line.
Probably have to put one on this property line.
Might look not as good.
I guess the 500.
I mean, I don't think they patched anything yet, I've seen, but I was reading in our minutes that he was supposed to...
Where the Levi rights is, because that's who he has.
It's here.
Okay, so we're going to the end of...
He's done like one too north.
End of his property.
That's right there.
And that's where the fire hydrant...
And you go down like 4th East and 34th South, I mean, second Main Street, all around the pool.
I'll go out and measure it tomorrow, but it's...
Okay.
It's not 500 feet.
I thought this was Levi's.
I think it'd be about 480 feet.
480 feet, I think, so...
From the other...
That's probably the here. Is it, that's not that far from here, well, should, well, my other maps.
Doesn't show the footage.
But from there to...
We want to just make sure we get across Levi Wright's property. This is the biggest concern.
And that's...
And put a fire hydrant there. And then we can extend it on from there on, but at least in case he puts a driveway through, we're not digging up his driveway around the water.
Does it, nobody else give us any bids either, I guess?
Everybody's getting gun shy because we keep getting bids and we don't do it.
But it would be a whole lot less than that, because it's not 500 feet, it's more like 200 feet.
To run it.
And one fire hydrant.
That's a pretty big difference, less than half.
Well, being the one I raised direct this, I'll make a motion that we table the bid and do it in-house.
I'll second that.
Okay. Has a motion by Russ to table it, the bid on the water line. And seconded by Lynn to do it in-house. Roll call.
Okay, just a second.
Since there's money involved, we're going to do a roll call.
Yeah.
Ken?
Yes.
Paul?
I'm staying.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes, to table it until we get more information.
Sam?
Same, just table it.
So what more information do you guys want?
Well, it'd be nice to, Kohler to, you know, talking about a schedule, timeframes, you know, and this estimate's for 500 feet. You guys are discussing that it's only 200 feet.
But either way, you're going to save a bunch of money.
But I support having them do it in-house as long as Coulter's, you know, can fit that into his schedule.
I know it's probably Paul will do it.
Well, I know we're on a time crunch.
We're on a big time crunch with it.
Are we? So time is a...
Yeah. He's got renters ready to move in and there's no water there. There's a sewer line there, but there was never water put there.
I guess I, my biggest concern is if Paul does it, who's going to help him, really? I don't know how, you know.
Bob.
When we pay Bob?
Not much, I don't know. Do you know Jimmy?
Not off the top of my head.
Say he was in the system about 15.
Yeah, 15 bucks, I mean, pretty cheap.
Well, that's pretty cheap labor for laying pipe.
Yeah, it is.
That's cheaper than, that's cheaper than our employees per hour.
I don't have any sound measurements for that.
No, we're talking 10-6 a pipe.
The one lot across the street is 250 feet and then the other lot's 146, so yeah, we're about 420 feet to go across the one lot on the runway and then all the way across like that.
It's already, yeah, it's already across the street.
Across the road, yeah, but the first property's 240?
First property is 249 feet and then approximately 146 or so to get all the way past Levi's. So if you're putting that hydrant at the end of his line, you're about 420 feet or so.
420 feet then.
See that either.
So we haven't got pipe order, nothing yet, right?
I don't know, I don't know what Kohler's got.
No, because he was...
Waiting on a bid?
Waiting on a bid, not knowing he didn't have enough manpower to do it himself and equipment freed up to go do it. So basically, we need to get footage, more accurate on footage. So I think Kohler went out and measured it, so what?
Yeah, we registered it from Google Earth and I've got it on County Plat, there across the street.
See, I don't know whether that has any value. How many people are going to do it? The thing of it is, we're going to save money by doing it in-house.
Yeah.
It really don't matter how many feet.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on, is the fact we're going to save money by doing it in-house.
It's got to, well, it's going to be done.
Paul's going to do it.
Yeah.
With paying Bob and Paul, we're still going to save.
No, I support, if we can do it in-house, I certainly support that, you know. I don't know if we need some figures to look at, like pipe costs and those.
I don't know, that's just where I am, whether that's.
Fire hydrants, two fire hydrants, is that what we were?
Yeah, I wasn't sure where it's coming off of, but technically, they only need to be every 500 feet, so.
Yeah, legally.
There's something I do know, there's nobody will do a better job than that one right there.
So.
Well, you pretty much, everybody said yes, I mean.
Okay, because I was under confusion, the UTIC said no as far as.
Well.
So that's what threw me off.
No, I voted yes to table it.
I voted yes to table it. I just noted that they stepped it, I would like a little more information, and then you guys discussed it more. Are you okay now?
Yeah.
Okay, just so I know where we're at, who goes ahead with what. Next is requisition 02150954, sound system for Contoy, $16,933.
They all have a copy.
We've all got a copy of it, Jack.
Sound system we have is worn out completely. The last three events we've had have lasted all day long. It's quit us about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we have to let it cool down. Galen goes up and wiggles some wires and we get it going again.
I hold my arms to the back.
Where do they have the controller? Is it out in the arena or is it?
It's in the arena, yeah.
Does,
how old is it anyway?
Does the dust affect that?
I asked them that very question, if we needed a dustproof cabinet, and they said probably not because it's all going to be sealed. And yes, part of it's going to go in the wall and it'll be locked up so that when people go up there to do the announcing, they have a tendency to want to turn knobs. And so then it shuts down and it's a wreck. But they didn't figure that the dust was going to be an issue.
The only thing I was asking that for is like, if you're not using it, it might be smart to have some type of a cover.
I agree with that.
Built to put over it so that the dust during the normal time is not affecting it at all.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. In fact, we talked about that. Just have something to slip over the cabinet.
Some type of metal.
Cloth, fabric.
Yeah, fabric cloth or something.
Canvas, something, yeah. And Sam, I will get some information on warranty. What do you think would be an appropriate warranty?
I just think as long as they have some kind of warranty. I mean, even if it's, you know, that's what I figured. I'm sure they have some.
I have no idea what you're looking at as timeless.
Usually there's at least a year's warranty.
I mean, at least that's what I figure. I mean, at least see how, I mean, at least that way you're going to find if there's any hiccups in anything. You know what I mean?
This one we had rebuilt, cost us about $1,000, and that was probably 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. And now we're starting to have the same problem again. So.
Well, this has been in here from the.
Yeah, it's pretty much old school.
So it's from 15, 16 years.
Well, this probably wasn't quite the right radio system. This probably wasn't quite the best system for out there anyway either, was it, to start with? Didn't we kind of go cheaper on that versus a better one like this?
Well, the connection, like to the speakers, are a male and female 110 volt plug.
Yeah, like I said, I think it all kind of was.
It's not real good, no.
So.
But anyway.
Does this come out of RD? Where does this come out of?
This is now coming still out of the general fund.
General fund. I'm trying to remember, I think we budgeted this, correct?
It was in Jack's capital improvement list. It got cut, but he has not had the expenditures come in as much as prior years, so he's actually had some cost savings this year.
Where we'd be okay to do that?
Expenditures compared to last year, about $15,000, $16,000 less. Revenue's down about $3,000-$4,000, so it's pretty close to a, you know, straight dollar for dollar.
One of the big problems we have with this sound system we have now too, is technology has come so far that when these big vets come in, they bring their computers, they plug into our amplifiers, it shuts our amp down because nothing's compatible.
Yeah. How quick is this that they have, is this system something they have installed and can come out and do it pretty quick? Do you know?
We haven't discussed that.
I haven't discussed.
Go ahead, I'm putting the heat on them. This Atkinson Sound is the same guy that does the Fourth of July rodeo and brings speakers and sound system to the rodeo.
I'm seeing the rodeo.
I imagine he's probably a couple months out at least to get the system.
I know it's needed. If money's okay that way, it sounds like I'll make a motion to approve requisition number 0215-0954. Event Center Sound System for, and I'd like to go with the Atkinson Sound, which is cheaper, for $16,933.
Okay, I have the motion by Sam, seconded by Paul, to approve requisition 0215-0954 to Atkinson Sound for your Event Center Sound System, $16,933. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
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 Okay, I got all the requisitions. Discussion action next on Aspen Village Roads. Rondi.
All right, so last Friday, we met with Sunrise Engineering, Mario here, Ryan and Trent, and also Justin Axon was there. And they went over this plan we have, gave us some options for taking care of our roads in Aspen Village, and we also talked about, you know, some of our drainage issues. Obviously, we have some, you know, budget restrictions on this project, so we come up with some ideas on how we could still deliver a good product, but trying to save some money too, because you know, it's about what we have. You know, let me backtrack a little bit. We did get the $60,000 CDBG grant from the state. And our match on that is $33,000.
Yep.
So we planned on the $100,000. We've been planning on that since last year for this road project. Mario's gave us some options to choose from on how we can try to save some money, but still, you know, like I mentioned, deliver a good product. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And I'm sure he'll be able to answer some questions for you. Did you guys see the email I sent you last night?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm kind of leaning towards the,
somebody needs to see it.
The pulverized, the 5-inch pulverized with concrete treated subsurface with an inch and a half overlay. Seems to be about, you know, fits our budget the best. And it's not much more than just doing a compacted road base with a double chip seal. And you get a lot more life expectancy out of that.
A CDB base in this kind of climate is not what, it's not very good.
Yeah, which is your compacted road base? Or
pardon?
Is that same thing?
It's a concrete treated base.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't hold up in a climate like this.
So, you know, and I don't know if we want to go the route of, you know, doing a double chip seal over a compacted road base. I think that's just, you know, the figure looks good, but it's, you know.
It works good on a low traffic. There's not a heavy thing up there. There's not a lot of weighted vehicles in there. The problem is as long as you maintain it, that's the big key with those, I think, is staying on top of that maintenance.
Rechipping
constantly. Yeah, if you get the drainage is going to be another issue if it's corrected in there, but you know, we're having that problem right now. I drove across the release that we did, I'm trying to remember what year we did those projects, and it's potholed there. Oh heck, I mean, those are brand new roads. It should have had a little more care to them, but I think some of that was some building and stuff that happened that never got corrected from homes and stuff, but anyway.
And I don't know, would you mind coming up, Mario, and just answer some questions maybe that we have?
So.
Explain who you are, you know, and your background.
Does everybody have this, the copy of the memo with the engineer's estimate?
I don't think
it's on an email, I think.
I have his copy.
Yeah, that email coming, Joe.
Yeah, give me one.
I didn't know if Mom gave you enough.
I had two of your baby shit.
I did print one out.
Okay. And I brought all my paper with me. I'm not going to get my exercise later.
Thanks, Mom.
All right, so I started telling Mayor my background. I started at Horrox Engineering when I graduated from Utah State. I did roadway design for Horrox for 3 years and then went to Geneva Rock for 4 years. Concrete paving division and their materials testing. Also worked for Salt Lake City and Pleasant Grove City. Back to Ridgeville, where I'm from. To work for Sunrise. So this, I was excited for this project because for the last 2 years I've been diving into water and wastewater systems. This project made me feel like I actually know a little bit about what I'm doing. I love water and wastewater systems, but I feel like a new engineer as I'm working through designs and reviews. So this brought me back to some of the experience I've had. We drove the project. I can tell that the asphalt is falling apart. I have been around enough to know that when you do any kind of asphalt cuts for utility work, it significantly reduces the life of the road. And I know BYU did a study and they found out it was about 50% of its life as soon as you saw cut it. The reason is you're introducing water, a way for water to get into the road base, which is the structural portion of it. The asphalt is just the way surface. Councilman Madsen mentioned the cement treated base. I've been around enough to know it works if you do it correctly. And if you're making sure that you're not introducing water into the base. Salt Lake City has had great experience with it. Pleasant Grove City has had great experience in doing it, but it does have to be right, and it has to be engineered in a way that it'll hold up. The challenge to this subdivision is how much do you want to put, how much money do you want to put into it to get what you want? In the four alternatives we included there and anticipated life cycle for those roads after the work is implemented. I included a brief portion about drainage too. There seems to be some significant drainage problems where if it's not channeled outside of the roadway, you're going to continue to see issues with potholes and fatigue within the road. Implementing a way to stabilize the road base and then putting in some sort of waterproofing, you know. I suggested a typical 3-inch of asphalt on 6-inch road base will provide the most value of your roadway. But that could be cost prohibitive if you're only choosing to hit the 300,000 or less threshold of budget. I did talk with the mayor about one option to keep that center road that seems to be in good shape, leave it out of the rehab or reconstruction, and just do a chip seal on that one. And that should satisfy the needs for that road as a, just as a rehab or maintenance for years to come.
Well, and if, reality, if you did some of these, and then reality, if we did right off the top of it, just did a chip seal over it, you're going to boost your life significantly too.
Yeah.
Of the road. For chip seal, if we're doing other things, I mean, the cost of it's minimal compared to what you gain in life.
And I'm coming from the Utah Valley where they don't like chip seal. You know, and any of the cities say, no, we get so many complaints about the chip falling out.
The roughness.
Rough road for all the bikers.
Yeah, crashing their bikes.
In all reality, it's one of the most cost-effective ways to treat your roads that will actually make them last a lot longer. You're providing a wearing surface plus waterproofing it. It covers cracks and mat cracking and stuff.
Well, we've been going on this for quite a while. How much, isn't there grant money, Dave? Is there grant money for up there? How much is there?
$65,000.
So we have to come up the rest of it.
Yep. Yeah, so I think the discussion was using some of the C-road.
Right. We do have money in our road budget, you know, to make up the difference.
How much we got there?
Was it 285, Dave?
Well, 200,000 at the end of June. That's saving money on top of that 65. So 265, and then next year's road money, if you add all that in, you'll have 435. So the question is, how much do you want to put in?
So this road,
yes,
that's not included. That is included in your estimate.
It is currently on the report. But because there was no insulation of pipe in there, right, it's actually intact, and it seems to be.
So this corner right here is low. But you always get a big water puddle right there, so we could grade that so that we'll take that away. We can, so it flow down this way. This is the low spot right here. Everything drains right to there.
And I understand the city bought this property, yeah, for a potential detention or retention basin.
But as far as the rest of the drainage, it drains great. Nothing else puddles. That's the only place that puddles. So
that up on that southeast corner? Here?
It's on the west, that north middle west road.
That southeast corner in front of that guy's house has a huge pond every year.
Southeast.
Up here.
Right there, it ponds pretty good right there. It has for years.
See, in a solution that's...
That's the only place that I know other than what you're talking.
Without running full-blown storm drainage, they have these retention detention basins to store water, similar to what we've got there by the high school. You know, and you fill it
dry
around...
Wells or the
dry wells. And you know, you fill it surrounded with gravel. It kind of percolates out into the gravel and into the ground, but
if it's just a small area, they work fine. But if you're
in
a big area, they don't work for long.
Yeah, I think we estimated 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think we talked about to cover the 4 critical areas that the engineer is concerned about. Yeah, we need 4 of those dry wells to dewater the road.
Is there enough room in the road to put one? That was my concern.
It's basically a manhole that just has an inlet.
Can't break out. Yeah.
We've got this grant now.
Yeah. Well, we got $65,000.
Anywhere.
You know, if you take your road budget and throw them all in here, what about the rest of our roads?
Yeah.
And we have a sump up in this part.
I just didn't know there'd be enough room in the road. Put the water line in the sewer.
It's gas line. Yeah, we definitely have to have it blue staked and then look at these locations.
Well, it's the sewer lines are the worst because you have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, there's no tracer wire on those.
The laterals.
Yeah, all the laterals and stuff.
Oh, I see here.
There's no mapping. There's nothing that maps any of it.
So So you're not talking the sewer main, you're talking the services?
Yes.
I mean, you can camera it and see where they tie into the main, but that doesn't really, I mean, that just gives you a connection point, it don't really.
So where this is a low-income housing area, there's no more grant money than the 65?
If I had a little more accurate projections, maybe I would have asked for more, but.
Hey, Dave, on the current cost estimates, so it's CDBG money, which is federal money, so are you taking into account that it's federal and you're going to have to run with Davis Bacon?
Oh, yes.
Because that'll ruin your costs.
Yes, that'll be the.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
And it's one of them deals where if you don't use the grant, how likely are they going to award you another one?
Well, I think we need to use the money that we got, the grant, but I'm just concerned you throw everything or money in there this year and next year's road money.
Our roads are in such bad shape now with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I really don't see why you couldn't do a double chip seal in there like Sam says. You're not going to get heavy traffic. Only heavy traffic you're going to get is a garden truck going through there.
Yeah, well, let's see, that's, I'd like to keep some money around for our roads if we can.
So is that option just leaving the roadway as is, but?
No.
No.
You'd have to override.
You'd have to.
What's there?
So alternative four is what we're kind of looking at? The double chip over pulverized existing road?
And that's for you guys to come in, completely come in and do all that through, or through. This is just an, so this is just an engineering estimate?
This is construction costs only. Engineering fees would be, I think we included about $35,000, which includes a bid set with construction management on.
I guess what I'm asking, I guess what I'm saying is this isn't an actual bid, so this may not be the actual price?
Well, it's based on the bids that we're receiving.
What you're seeing around the area?
Well, the bids that the city received from these different alternatives.
Because the city owns a, the city owns a zipper, yeah, so I mean, that could.
As in an asphalt zipper?
Yeah.
How well does that pulverize?
Not real well, especially this one's got a lot of bit.
They got a lot of stuff in it. Well.
And I tried to use it to do that and you get too big. It doesn't break it up fine enough. Just big kind of.
I did a whole bunch of stuff with it. I did Six South with it. I did, you know, all sorts of them.
Do you think, the question I'm concerned about is saving that road gutter, you know, while we're through the pulverization process.
That concrete.
And I don't know if we need to go in there with a backhoe and just peel away, you know, what. A couple feet from that gutter before you bring that pulverizer in there.
Typically, if you get a contractor that actually specializes in that, they'll be maybe 4 to 6 inches. And then you just pull off that little edge.
No, they destroy it. It's up to them to replace it.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is a couple spots that need to be replaced.
A little fixing and done.
Yeah, and the full scope of this project, I mean, Sunrise was, you know, identified, you know, the gutter that need to be replaced and storm drain and road. So we've scaled back a lot off the original estimate. It does have to be, you know, with that grant, it has to be engineered. We can't just go in there and do an overlay. So.
I don't know, for like I said, I mean, it would be nice to do asphalt, but for the price, I think, I don't know, it almost makes more sense just to do a double chip in there where it's not a heavy truck, a trafficked area, but, I don't know.
The question is, what happens in the near future? Let's say a double chip seal lasts 5 to 10 years. Are you back reviewing another project?
No, I would just make sure that you do another chip seal on it within the next, before the 5 years is up.
See, and I'm not very familiar with the double chip seal process on these type of roadways where you have a lot of street traffic. It's not heavy traffic. You may only get garbage trucks in there once in a while.
It would be no different in Third East. I mean, if you go look at Third East, Third East has held up just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, minus, like I said, minus construction, but there's not gonna be any construction because there's no lots. So, at the end...
That's what I think, just because of our budget and...
Exactly, because we've gotta save some of that money.
I mean, it'd be nice to have asphalt in there, I'm not disagreeing, but...
Double chip so you don't have to do anything with manholes either, you know?
Well, I'm glad they have some options for us here that we can't do, because I wasn't sure how the council would feel, you know, about any of this, and that's why I have it on the agenda. Because one guy might want three inches asphalt, you know, and someone else might want the double chip.
I think in all reality, everybody'd want 3 inches asphalt.
Yeah, well, if we...
That's money, I mean, that's... I'm not gonna lie, that makes your best road, but money... You know?
It's terrible that we, you know, this winter's been devastating for our roads, the freeze-thaw cycle and all the water we've had. And we have some major road issues, there's no doubt about that. But we've also mentioned that this has gotta be number one priority. Because we went in there and put in that new water system and...
Yeah, we need to get it taken care of, but if we can do it and chip seal it and make it last and then go back every 3 or 4 years and chip seal again. Because it's very, very, very low traffic in there, really.
Tell me you get a couple...
What are we talking money-wise difference, double chip?
Double chip seal is $250,000.
I think that's what it said, wasn't it?
And the ass?
$425,000.
$175,000.
Well, an alternative three is 3 inches of asphalt over pulverized existing roads, $60,000 more than double chip. But, yeah.
We do have a fairly conservative contingency, it's at 20%, so, I mean, I say conservative, but you never know, this day and age.
Well, your oil prices are changing so much that you just don't know what that's gonna be either, but...
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is for the entire subdivision. If the center roadway was taken out, I just reduced the area by, I can't remember the amount, but it ended up saving, looks like about $20,000.
Well, if you didn't need to pulverize it, you just double chip over it if it's in good shape, then you would just, everything would be uniform across there. I mean, it'd save you the time and labor, which would be pretty significant at Davis Bacon wages.
Well, we're pretty hard on this, so...
Well, I think Sunrise does a lot more work than me, but I'm just bringing it to council. See what you guys, you know...
So basically, we wanna make a decision to tell Sunrise which way to start engineering that moving forward?
Yeah, and maybe come up with some new numbers and...
The critical part is being able to get it to advertise so that it hits this year's...
Yeah, that's...
That's coming up quick.
We gotta get in line, and it's a long line.
So if we're gonna ask an engineer, then they need to know what we want, what option we want, and then just go forward with that. That's what I would propose.
We're proposing.
Well, how do I do that, yeah? I make a motion that we go ahead and have Sunrise...
She's alternative.
Alternative four, basically, is what we would be...
Alternative four, okay.
Which is a double chip.
Yeah, I'll make a motion we go with alternative four for the, what is it, what they call that, an Aspen Village.
I'll second it. I guess you need a second?
Yep.
For Randy or...
When you prepare the bid package, when you put in there the curb that needs to be fixed or replaced, and down to the bottom, there's already a cement under those crossroads. It's really steep. We probably want to take that out and redo it because it's...
Yeah, we did talk about that, didn't we?
And then where we'll go into the retention basin, we'd probably have to do some kind of a cement channel into it.
But we'd love to involve whoever could create a committee to be able to review like a 40-60-90%. So just to make sure that it's the way the city wants.
The back page here too, he has a breakdown of all the, you know, the costs for the gutter, you know, for example, the dry wells. Now, something else we probably need to discuss in the future is we want to order some dry wells and try to install them.
We've got one up to the city yard that we can use. It's got the base and everything.
Something that we can talk about in design also is if we want to include additive alternates where the city can choose if there's enough funds to be able to add more to the project, but still keep the base bid as just the roadway improvements.
Okay. All right.
Mayor, I'm going to stay around here if you have any questions on the current water projects, or if you can help me out.
I think we're good. I did talk to Devin this afternoon.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yes, I did talk to him this afternoon.
Perfect.
So, all right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mario.
Do we need to vote on that? Or just, probably just announce. Well, I'll just go ahead. We made the, we had the motion made by Russell and seconded by Sam to go with alternative four for the Aspen Village Road project. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Since we're not really talking dollars yet, there should be some.
But now he can go after some bids, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now he can go after starting his part of it. All right, Shay.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I'll be as quick as I can, so I'm more prepared. I have several comments, updates, questions regarding some of the items that we've previously discussed. So the first on the agenda, I think we can list the fire station.
Yeah, I did it.
So I just wanted to provide an update. I think Sam actually asked about the fire truck application to the fire district.
Yes, it's, they've already met and
yeah, so I was going to provide an update. Tyler met with Nick Lyons. Mm-hmm. They are on the CIB list. I double checked that today. So they're for sure. I think last year there was a mistake made. They didn't get on the CIB list.
They had a little hiccup.
So they are for sure on there. I checked today. I think they're applying for five trucks. They'll be putting an application in June.
Yeah, I think we have a public hearing in March next month.
They won't be able to apply until June.
Yeah.
When they go before the board in July, August, or September, the funding meeting will be in October.
Yep.
They could ask for a suspended fund if they're worried about fluctuation in the truck prices. So then they would get the money sooner, but that is an option. And Tyler already notified them
of
that. Just an update on that. But with the fire station being on there, we can look at that. I think I talked with Dave earlier today, and we discussed that he was going to have an architect come in and look at some costs for expansion of the fire station. There's not a ton of additional funding options for the fire station, probably CIB, like the fire trucks, and then maybe the AFG program through FEMA, which they actually just barely closed on the 10th, so that would be, it's an annual program, so it would be a whole other year for that one. But there's kind of an update on that situation. We talked about your transient room tax ordinance. So I prepared that, it's completed, your attorney has reviewed it and made a couple small changes. I made those changes, sent it over. We're not going to propose it for adoption tonight and have a public hearing, simply because we didn't have enough time for the notice period for the public hearing, so it'll be at your next city council meeting. You'll vote to adopt that ordinance. I just wanted to bring it up tonight. Previously, I let you know that where we're working with multiple communities, I would likely attend one of yours, Mona's are on the same night, so I'll go back and forth between the two. I may not be able to attend the next city council meeting if you're adopting it there, so I just wanted to field any questions on that ordinance tonight, if you have them.
So one thing we talked about, so we've got like two or three things coming up, we're gonna have to have a public hearing on.
Yeah.
We talked about just grouping them together in one public hearing advertisement one night.
Yeah.
So it might be.
March.
Yeah, it might be in March before we actually do that.
Okay, that's fine, I'll plan to be at that meeting, so.
Just if we can do them all in one public hearing, it makes it so much easier.
That's totally fine, yeah. I don't think you'll have to change anything in the language of the ordinance. It will still take effect on July 1st because that's be 90 days from when it's put in place and at the start of the quarter, so. Still takes effect on July 1st.
Okay. So we wanna make sure we get it in March for sure.
Yeah. Boiler funding update, so reached out to Land and Water Conservation Fund. They wanted a project that was larger in scale than just the boiler. They're with Utah Outdoor Rec, so they also want projects that are flashy and that type of thing. And they have briefly discussed this previously, so we talked about bringing the replastering of the pool into that project as well and trying to get that funded. With Land and Water Conservation Fund. I also talked with Brittany at the Aquatic Center, and we talked through some lift, like the wheelchair lift, like a wheelchair lift and the new pump and all sorts of things. So I sent all of that over just this past week to the Land and Water Conservation Fund to see what of those items, so the boiler, the replastering, and then several other, the pump and the wheelchair lift, and then there were a couple other things that Brittany told me that you might want to look at. And so they're supposed to get back to me on the eligibility of all of that, so I will let you know on that one.
Did they include on that, excuse me, Shane, they include the epoxy for the floors and stuff?
They did, yeah. I did send that over as well with that, so.
Okay.
We'll see if that's an eligible expense. They're having an issue with it because your pool's kind of indoor and outdoor, and it's outdoor rec, so we'll see. And they don't love to do like maintenance type things, like upkeep, like a boiler and that type of thing, but if we can add some type of component to like your splash pad or that, they might be more willing to fund the project. I did talk with Dave on this earlier as well. I mean, even if they're willing to fund it and it's an eligible expense for the program, it's not guaranteed that we get the funding, right? It's still an application, and so Dave has talked to a couple other funding sources and that we may want to consider and move forward with locking in, if you want to mention that.
Yeah, I would still recommend we lock those rates in, and even with those other grants, a lot of times they come with a loan grant mix. Sometimes you still have to get the loan from some other place even too, so. And with that one I sent out, it's $3,000 down closing costs just to lock that in, and we'll see if something more appealing comes in, but.
Is that through Zions?
That one was through cash. Didn't have to jump through as many hurdles to lock in that dollar amount, interest rate, and closing costs. So we can keep looking for some more money to help cover that, but.
Yeah.
In the meantime, that gives us a capital source and a good interest rate and terms that we can lock all that rate in and see if something better comes up.
So I don't know if we want to take action on that tonight, where we don't have a solid answer on what will be eligible will be funded by that, but maybe you want to take action on this funding source or look at it in the meeting on the 28th of February if we have an answer for the Land and Water Conservation Fund situation, where we're still before March, but.
Would it affect the Land and Water Conservation deal if we go ahead with the financing?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can give you a straight yes or no answer to that. I can find out on it. Dave said, sometimes they require a loan from another source. So with this specific funding source, it's 50-50. So like if you're going to bring 50% in from your, like on your own, you don't have that cash up front, you need to finance it. I would anticipate that they'd be okay with that, but I don't know 100%. I can't check on that for you.
So the cash value, you think we're all right to wait 2 more weeks?
I can ask. I can't promise for sure.
Can we approve it? Or isn't that really on the agenda, right? Or is it?
Well, it's...
It kind of ties in with that boiler.
That boiler funding update, so that's kind of what we probably could.
So it would be what, a $3,000 cost is what it would be to lock it in right now? So, yeah. And we wouldn't pay anything other than $3,000?
That's it.
What was the interest rate they were giving us, do you know?
4.15%. It ties back in right now. My pool, I'm already 4.25%. So that's where it's also appealing to me.
It's not a bad idea. But if you feel like you can wait, maybe wait until it's over.
Well, who knows what the rate will be?
Worst case scenario, if you wait, and then if you take action and then they say no, we just lose out on that funding source, the possibility of that funding source, I guess. And then you have to look at financing the whole project with this funding source, or bringing in some money from your app tax or something like that. So those are kind of your options with that.
It's hard to say for what rate. That's my biggest worry, what rates are doing, if it goes up or down.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
I don't think we're going to see it go down for a while.
No.
And like I said, it's not guaranteed that you're even eligible for this funding source with all of these things. And if you are, it's still not guaranteed that you get the money for it. So it's an if and an if. So it's not the worst idea.
I think we need to lock in.
Where does that $3,000 come from, Dave? General fund?
Yeah, general fund. And like my interest rates, because of that being at 4.25 compared to what I forecasted this time last year, I can pay for that just out of the interest earnings that I gained. So.
You have to do it.
I guess that's a fallback plan in case. I mean, funding's always a positive if you can get it, but.
Cash Valley's offer is very good because Zions was like 15,000 and we had to have a bond attorney and a lot
sales
of
tax
sales tax bond.
This is just unsecured. Just my promise that I'll pay it.
So. A lot of jumps we had to jump through. So Cash Valley's was very, very good.
Well, I'd say we need to do it then. I mean,
yeah, so does somebody want to make the motion that we proceed with that funding source to lock it in?
Okay, I'll make that motion. We lock in that funding source for the boiler from Cash Valley Bank. I don't know how else to say
that. That's probably it.
I'll second it.
Okay, so I have the motion from Paul, seconded by Lynn, to go after the funding source for the boiler from Cash Valley Bank. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay.
Previously, you were asking the question if we put the transient room tax ordinance in place. And we were wondering if you're going to collect it on city-owned property. So I reached out to the state tax commission. Their answer was that with the information I provided, any entity that provides short-term lodging, camping, RV camping, etc., is required to collect sales tax and transient room tax, even if it is city. So that is their answer to that question. So yes.
Short-term.
Yeah, so 30 days or less.
30 days or less.
Talked to the mayor about penstock and hydro plant funding. I reached out to Joshua German with Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart Program. That's actually a water and energy efficiency grant program, so it's a 50-50 funding source. Hydro plant projects are eligible under that funding source. They'll be giving announcements from last year's funding cycle in March, so just next month, and then they're open again either in June or July. They haven't released their opening date, but they'll be taking applications again this summer. So if that's something you want to look at for those projects, you can. We don't need any action taken on it at this point where it's in June or July. We just wanted to make you aware of that funding source. It is a 50-50 program. The way that they list it, projects conserve, use water more efficiently, increase the production of hydropower, mitigate conflict risk in areas of high risk of future water conflict, and accomplish other benefits that contribute to water supply reliability in Western United States. So it's a big funding source. I do think that it might work for that project. If you want to look at that as a funding source, I'll make quite a few more details on the project. We don't have to discuss that here tonight. Work with Mayor Dave and whatever council member.
Shane? He's the... Thoughts?
Yeah, so I say we go for it, because just even just fixing that penstock line, Paul's aware of the issue that penstock line is. It's in rough shape. So that's something that we just want to... Definitely.
That's part of our capital facility improvement plan, this 5-year plan, right?
Yeah.
I think that...
If you get grant money, though, it's still... Any money you don't have, but it's not better than...
Yes.
The whole thing.
Sometimes
you can jump through some hoops that...
Yeah.
On more details.
You got matches so with some of them.
Their program administrator, for sure this project will work. And
yeah, there's
a council for updates.
Upgrading the like, you know, one we're having a hard time finding parts, 1939.
Yeah, could you upgrade it like in a four?
Yeah, that's what I
or
make it more efficient.
Can't leave the power that puts out since you change the wheel.
Well, yeah. So there's different issues, and I'll start putting information together on that.
So we would apply in June, July, and then it'd be again, we'd know next year at this time about?
Yeah, it's like 10 months, 10 or 11 months out from when we apply.
10 months.
Previous cycles have followed that pattern.
Patch holes.
Last thing that I had a question on your personnel policy, so I do have a draft where I think we'll probably just kind of revamp the whole thing. Taking parts, obviously, I actually talked to Dave about this briefly today as well, that there are parts of it that we're not going to change too drastically because it'll require a lot of other changes, such as benefits and leave and that type of thing. But so we're working on that. My big question is, it's kind of in the same conversation that we had when I came and pitched this community advisor, city administrator program that we're piloting. For your policy, we need to know if you're going to hire a city administrator or a city manager full-time or not, simply because it'll change the structure of how we write the policy. So if you aren't going to hire a full-time city administrator or manager and technically have someone titled that and paid for their time for that, etc., we would write the policy in a way that leaves basically every decision up to the mayor and the council, right? Because you don't have someone that's managing the personnel of the city outside of that. if you are going to move forward and hire a full-time city manager or city administrator, then we would write the policy in a way where we're not taking heavy authority away from the council and the mayor, but it's allowing that person in that position to take care of a lot of those day-to-day decisions, those things that come up with personnel, etc., to where not everything has to be brought to the mayor and the council, right? And of course, you would approve the policy by ordinance when it's completed, so you'll agree upon how it is written that that person is to manage each of those things, right? So it's not that they have free rein to do whatever they want. The things that they have to make decisions on are outlined within the policy. So they're just the one administering what is agreed upon by the council in that policy, if that makes sense. So the big question is, do we want it written to where you're going to have a city administrator, city manager, or do we want it written to where we're sticking with not having an official city manager, administrator, and we're putting the mayor and the council in there? That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I don't have the answer to that question, it's hard to move forward with the policy because the whole policy changes based on that question.
Well, I know how I feel.
I, as far as the city manager goes, I think that's something that needs to go into a, probably a discussion other than tonight.
Yeah. How much changing would you have to do on the policy? I mean, I just know that's so outdated that we've got to get something done quick. And that's why I was wondering, would it change everything or just a certain little section of it?
So, I guess my answer to that question, and Seth, jump in here if you want, because Seth's involved with Nephi and has more experience with that than I do, but my answer to that question would be, like, it's not how much we should change the policy, it's making a decision for the town on whether or not you're going to include that and trust that person and include them to make those decisions that you voted on the policy for them to carry out, right? So, like, we're kind of maybe in this weird stage where you have staff that are doing some city administrator duties but aren't fully titled city administrator or compensated city administrator, whatever it might be, and it causes issues because people, like we talked about this before, like some staff might not know their job, or they might not have an accurate job description, or they might not have, et cetera. And so, like, my recommendation would be to go one way or the other, to stay away from this weird gray area, because from what I've seen, and like, I haven't been here the whole time, I 100% realize that, but I come with outside eyes, and from what I've seen, that's part of the problem, that the conflict that you all discussed with me when I first came, was that there is that weird gray area where there's not clear-cut lines, everybody doesn't know their exact task to complete, there's not clear-cut job descriptions, and this person's in charge of this, if that makes sense. If you're not satisfied with my answer, I can get another description. But that's the way that I would answer that question.
Well, let's see. I can take a change of the language in the entire policy.
Yeah. Other input, Seth?
Yeah, I mean, it really shifts the scope of work, in a sense. How much you're entrusting to a person as an administrator or a manager or whatever, it changes how much you're taking on and how much you're going to entrust with this person. I will just tell you, I think from an efficiency standpoint, your time is better spent directing policy for the city and having someone else carry out that policy. That's at least the most efficient way, in my opinion, to run a city government. So you're not spending time in a lot of the minutia and details of the city. You're entrusting that with a full-time day-to-day manager or administrator of the city. And there's some differences between a city administrator and city manager that we could talk about, but that's really what it all boils down to, is how much of the scope of work do you want to entrust with this person? And that's what will dictate how much of your policy will rest on the manager or administrator, or how much you want to continue to maintain as a council. You're in a situation a lot like Nephi, where I say you're growing up as a city. You're becoming larger, you're doing more things, and so you're in this weird zone of, you know, how much does the council take on and how much does staff take on? At small cities, it is all in the hands of the council because there's no one else to do it. But as you grow as a city, you typically will hire staff to carry those things out, and it's no longer efficient for you guys as a council to be involved in so much of the details. You entrust that with a manager. So anyway, for what that's worth, that's just an opinion.
And we're not asking you to decide to hire a city administrator or city manager tonight. That's not the decision. It's just simply, if you'd like to move forward with us creating a policy that in the future, when we move to put a policy in place, you'll also be hiring a manager or administrator at that point in the future. If you don't plan to do that in the near future and you want a new policy put in place, we would write it without that included. And then when you did go to hire a manager or administrator in the future, you would have to change the policy again.
So Seth, maybe you can answer a question. I've heard kind of conflicting things. Doing that and writing your policies that way, does that change your form of government? So would we have to change our form of government?
Yeah.
We would.
We'd have to change the form of government, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't be a small process.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I've been in the city of Lincoln Town's handbook.
But an administrator, so that's what I am, as a city administrator. The mayor is still considered the person that carries out those things, but you hire a professional administrator with the background and knowledge and things to do those day-to-day things.
Without changing the form of government.
Without really changing the form of government.
And so that's where I guess I'm trying to...
Yeah, you adopt a section of your code that says, we understand that mayor may or may not bring the skills necessary to manage a town, and hiring a professional manager will help assist the mayor with whatever skills they bring to the table in carrying out those duties or those requirements and policy directions of the council. And that ordinance dictates what the administrator will do. That's how Nephi set up.
So as an administrator, do you handle the employees too?
I handle the day-to-day management of them, but in a technical sense, our council still hires and fires the employees. So I will bring recommendations to the council, still their decision on what they want to do. I carry it out. Typically, and we've adjusted our hiring processes. The full council used to hire every employee, but we've adjusted things to where we have just a council representative on every hiring committee, and then if it needs to go to the full council, it can, but so far we've never done that. Just the representative of the council is on the hiring committee, and they take that back to the council. The council says yay or nay, and then we move forward with it. And then if they want to fire someone, they make the decision, and then they come to me, and I carry it out.
So what you're saying then, before you can do the policy, if we wanted the city manager, you would write the policy as to what powers he had.
Our city administrator.
Yeah, and even with the city administrator, they don't have the same authority as the city manager. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Sean Kerr in Ephraim goes with a city manager approach. So he has like signing authority. So he can sign rather than the mayor signing, where Seth can't as an administrator. So the policy would still be written different with an administrator or a manager or neither. So, I mean.
Yeah, see, that's why that.
Yeah. So you technically could be talking three different policies, I guess.
You could be, yeah. And you could be talking a different form of government if you're going to a manager,
right?
But you're sticking with essentially the same form of government with an administrator, just in our opinion a more efficient form of government, or the same form of government.
Well, it just involves professional management. That's, that's the point of hiring, is that you bring somebody that, you know, brings some experience to the table and also talks with other managers, talks with other towns, and sees how, what the best practices are and brings those back to you.
Okay.
Big decision. I don't know if you're ready to make it, but something to think on if you're not ready.
I need to talk it over amongst us.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Do we need to have a closed session one night to talk it over, or?
I don't know.
I don't think you can, because you're not talking about one individual, you're talking about.
Yeah, I think you have a closed, just a work session.
Yeah, just a work session. It may be good to invite the department heads and see what their thoughts are on it, but, I mean.
You guys are in a place, like we've said, that gray area, Seth brought up, where, I mean, you're moving forward, you're growing, you're in our region, you're one of those communities that's kind of like the top tier of the middle as far as size goes, right? And so you're in that spot where this is a big decision for you, but it would be good to mull it over with your department heads, everybody, get response, and it'll change.
I just think that's a better way to handle it personally.
Yeah, I think we need to get together with everybody and sit down and hash it and see where we're at with it.
Yeah.
I would like you here when we do that.
Yeah, we'd be more than happy to.
To answer questions that we might have. And you too, where you're administrator now.
I think that's one of the biggest things would be the money, or dollar amounts, what we're talking to, you know.
Well, I know from what I've heard, city managers and administrators save you money. You give us an example.
Okay, you're good.
Good. Well, I don't have any further questions. I want to wait until we can get together and hash it out.
Yeah,
I agree.
So I guess that's.
And I'd ask the input from both of you on it when we're doing it, because your input was so valuable last week, being an administrator and everything. You know, I think there's parameters for a city manager that's kind of set, aren't they? Aren't they kind of set, like, throughout the state, what his authorities are?
Yeah, if you go to the manager, you change your form of government.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean.
Well, the council still, what changes?
Your mayor has very little say if you have a city manager.
It has to be changed to the state.
Yeah, you have to change it through the state.
You have to have public approval. I believe you have to put on ballot.
Yeah, it has to go on ballot and change your form of government. And the citizens.
City administrator wouldn't be nearly as big of a process.
Would be major.
You can look at Nephi's code if you want. It outlines what the administrator's role is and what he or she is meant to do.
No, I think the mayor is doing a good job, but I think it would be good to have somebody right there every day with the employees. He's got a full-time job, and I don't know how he does what he does, really. He's done a great job. But it's always been my position, you know. I've talked to other city managers, and they've saved cities a lot of money. And they've handled problems that we've had that would have never got to where they got had we had an administrator or a city manager.
And an administrator is kind of a fluid position, because, as you said, most of the time mayors will have a full-time job. It's hard for them to devote some time to it, so they may lean heavily on the administrator. But you might get a mayor that's retired and has a lot of time, and they want to be involved in the day-to-day. And that's where the administrator would kind of maybe step back a little bit. And, you know, I've told our employees, I said, you know, we may get a mayor that comes in and says, hey, I want your office. You're in the corner over here. Okay. That's my new role, you know. I mean, it just depends on what the mayor's responsibilities and what they.
Yeah, that's where the policies would come in, right?
Yeah. But there can also be major culture shifts when that happens too with any organization.
Yeah, well, I understand that too.
Want to be aware and careful of that.
Yeah, there's tons of pros and cons to city manager and administrator, and the different forms of governments. That's probably something we should hash out in another session, because we can continue on this conversation all night.
I'll be upfront with you, I kind of thought about Dave sitting there, would handle that position very good. He's been in the, I'm concerned about when Mark leaves, and grants and everything, and that's where you would come in with the grants and help us with the grants.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned, the administrator, does he, can he fill out and apply for grants and everything? I've understood, like a city manager, he does that. See, then what I got to learn about it myself, and I know that. But that's where my concern is, with Mark's, what, 82?
Eighty-five, but.
Huh?
Eighty-four.
Eighty-four?
Ninety-three.
And we're gonna, down the road, this city is, we're growing, like you said, we're growing, and we're growing fast. And we're gonna need somebody that's in the system and knows where we're at and where to find and where we gotta go in order to be ahead of the curve on this growth. And that's, you know, and I know the mayor's there, but that's, you know, to apply for the grants, to get the money that we're gonna need for what's coming down the road. That's my concerns. That's where I think that an administrator or a city manager would fit in. That's my opinion, my feelings in a nutshell. I just, but I wanna be more learned so I can make a better decision.
Yeah, if you want to do like a work session, we can come and talk through more of what an administrator and a manager might do, and it does differ slightly based on the location in the city and the council and the mayor. And, but yeah, these are all things that we can talk through. It's probably a lengthy discussion. So
yeah, because my concern, Jory, 100%, what is best for this city?
Yeah,
and for the people of this city. And I want all the opinion and input I can get before, you know. But that's the way I feel about it anyway.
Yeah, and for that discussion, we can bring things like Nephi's code that outlines like what Seth's job description is and other cities, like a city manager form of government, what their job description is. And we can bring that stuff to like a work session if you'd like, so that you can look at those differences.
If we're going to do that, I'd like to advertise this for the general public to maybe know a little bit more, and then they could have their question and answers answered also.
Yeah. Yeah, you might
want kind of advertise it more as a public open house or something, work session.
Well, work session's open to public.
Yeah, enough so that it was more put that way. So if public had questions, they could ask too.
That's never hurt anything, because the decision is going to come down right here. It's five. That's where the decision is going to come down to, and the more input you got, the better decision you can make. So,
okay.
I'm all right with that.
Do we want to set a date?
Paul, how about you?
Yeah.
Lynn?
Yeah, I don't
Lonnie?
No, we need to have a work session to talk about this, and we need to move forward with it.
Yeah, let's set a date. I don't. We got to be out 2 weeks from now, everybody in public, don't we?
Would it be better to let you guys find your schedules that would work?
Tuesday nights are rough for me, because that's when you guys see the council.
That's what I say. If we want these guys to come, we probably ought to make it work with
Wednesday or
make it work with you guys' schedule.
Wednesdays
are good days. We got to have 2 weeks notice, right, for the public?
10 days.
We wouldn't really have to have an official. I just like to even get it more so you put that on our website, put some notices out.
So how much time do you want?
I would say close. I don't know if we want to go to the expense, I should say, of advertising it and doing all that to make it an official public hearing.
Yeah.
So it's just more word of mouth and spread it out as quick as we can, put it on our website and stuff like that.
However you want to handle it. You want to go the 1st of March?
Yeah.
The 8th to March?
Let's do the 8th.
The 8th would be, let's see.
Three weeks from today. It's March 8th.
Huh?
March 8th, 3 weeks from tonight.
Thursday, what about a Thursday? I have less on Thursday, on the 9th. Does Thursday's work okay for you, Seth?
I can do Thursdays.
I don't know what anybody else said, I just have a lot less on.
Fire on Thursday?
Yeah, but I, this would take precedence.
That's not a good one for me.
And which one?
Why can't you do March 8th? Thursday's good for me.
Cannot, is that what you're saying?
Cannot do March 8th. I can do the 1st.
What about the 9th?
That's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Did you say you can't do Thursdays?
March 9th's not good for me.
So.
What about March 1st then?
But March 1st or?
First is good for me.
I can do the 1st.
First is better.
I have no conflicts with the 1st.
I'm going to ski. All right, you guys say.
That's a Wednesday, so Wednesday in the middle of the week's good for me.
Little call in.
Should we go from March 1st?
Huh? We can go March 1st or else you can go to the 15th of March.
I'll give you mine.
You want to go 3 weeks and go to 15?
Let's go March 1st.
Okay.
What time?
I gotta go March to the restaurant.
Okay.
What time?
What time you want? 6:30?
Six. Well, I don't know.
It's easier for me to get here by 6:30. Sometimes that's.
Let's go 6:30.
6:30 on the 1st.
My only thing, I hate going way late.
Yeah. And it never fails. If I plan something happens.
Something happens, yeah.
Tonight, we had equipment broke down the hall.
Everybody had it.
No, we went to the restaurant and took a potty break.
It's just the way us old men are.
So the 1st?
Yeah, the 1st at 6:30.
6:30?
We can help get word out on that.
I think we have a Facebook page too.
We do.
Public notice website.
And we'll put down the public website.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. But I think we ought to try and get as much public notice and participation.
I think the council should go door to door and invite.
Women's History Month.
Oh, no.
Well, we can celebrate and have our work meeting.
That was my last item I had for you tonight, so.
Okay.
Do you want me to stick around for anything else tonight on the agenda?
I don't think. Don't use anything else.
Okay, I'll try to put some stuff together that would be helpful for that work session on the 1st.
Okay.
And then I'll keep updated on all the other things.
Is there, if we have any questions, maybe just on the RAB tax, what's that, Sarah? Was that all pretty straightforward?
I think just committees all.
We're just putting I got five people asked on the committee, so we might be calling you on. You said your city council just does yours though, right?
Yeah, they kind of had an idea about, they wanted it to go anyway, so they just.
So do they, one question that's come up, do they allot a certain percentage, like to rec to, and is that standard or?
Yeah, so I sent an ordinance over to Dave of what the council decided on, and it was 85% recreation, 10% parks, and 5% to the arts. One of the reasons they did that was we had a lot of needs for facilities and recreation, and so that's why the lion's share went to that. And we've been able to do a town square soccer field park near our city hall with park tax money. And then it has helped partially pay for the Hive. If you've seen the new rec center we've got over there, that's
neat. That's awesome.
That was partially funded through park tax.
And great donors.
And great donors, yes. That was a big help, yes.
Hey.
Well, and you have to proportion, when you do that, put that in place, you have to have certain proportions go to certain places, correct?
Yeah, and so the arts, I think I explained this last time, since we don't have an arts department, we just do a grant every year.
Every year.
And the arts portion, they can apply for it and get that out.
What is your, 85, 10?
85, 10, 5. That you can adjust those however you want, if parks are more important to you, you can do a lot of shared parks.
So we don't have to have that committed from year to year, do we? We can fluctuate it, because that was one of the questions we had.
I think so, yeah, I think we just did ours that way because we knew that the rec was facilities, and so we wanted that to be consistent because it was investing in bigger things, and we didn't want that to fluctuate, but yes, I think you could.
I think we've got a lot of that coming up with.
We got a lot with the park and the pool and everything else we got going on, so that's.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I saw though, by, like, you're in that ordinance.
What time did we get out?
6:30.
Your discretion first, that's off, and then off the not be awarded.
Yeah, I think so.
Anybody else got any questions for him or anything?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the next on the agenda is the RAF tax committee. We've talked to five individuals that are willing to be on that committee. I'd like to present them tonight. James Reeves, Catherine Applegard, Wendy Hackens, Sarah Staker, and Ben Robinson.
That'd be good, that would be pretty good.
That kind of gives us one person from basically every corner of town.
Who's getting your ticket? Sorry.
How, where did you get to any of them?
James and Catherine.
James and Catherine, Wendy Hackens, Hacking. Sarah Staker.
And Ben.
And Ben Robinson.
Sounds like a good group to me. They're willing to volunteer, they got my vote.
So do you have to make a motion to accept them?
I think we ought to make a motion to accept them.
Well, I'm a promotion, or you set the people that have come forth and willing to volunteer to be on the committee for the RAF tax.
They didn't come forth, so I called them and asked their staff names.
But they didn't say no.
But they didn't say no.
Do I need to reword it?
No. No. All right, Paul's gonna second it. All right. All's in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll get going with them then, and because again, with pool and everything else, we need to decide on how we need to help fund that pool and rehab and everything else we got going on. The next one, the water line, we've already talked about that, so we don't need to do any more with that one. Next is the pool of resolutions. Resolution 2023-01, a resolution approving the continuation of participation entitlement share under the Carbon Free Power Project power sales contract for Phase 1B of the licensing period of the Carbon Free Power Project and related matters.
How do I have the first agenda?
Huh?
Yeah, so if you actually look in your packet, Jeannie actually put two resolutions. So if you want it.
Just one.
Yeah. So there's actually, the first resolution, if we want to keep our entitlement. And so if you turn to the, this page here.
The back page.
This page here, you can see what our entitlement is, along with what other cities are. As far as I know right now, Ethan's doing theirs tonight. Also, and the only city that we've had drop out is Morgan. And Los Alamos actually increased, I
think they're shared by two men. So that's kind of where we're sitting at this weekend. We are sitting at three. So I kind of look at, even if we're over on our allocations, I think we can easily work out a contract between other UNAPS members to buy and sell between the two of them. And we do that pretty frequently. And so...
By the time this gets put in place in...
You might not be...
7 years, we might not have enough.
Yeah.
With the way things are growing.
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, the way we're growing, it's getting... And just the way that, how they're kind of pushing... I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all for going green, but you have to put a little bit of common sense in there. And that's what's kind of lacking, because they're just trying to force it and not think about, because wind's nice, solar's nice, but they're not reliable. They're too intermittent. Yeah. So you want something that's going to be steady, reliable, and everything. So that's kind of what we're looking at. The target price for sitting at, just so you know, for you guys, that, and I want to thank you guys for going down to that meeting. We made it down to the meeting. But for Romney and Stan, the target price we're looking at, we started out at $58 per megawatt hour. We are now ECT failed, and so that's why we have to go through this whole process again. They redid the ECT, and now it's at $89 per megawatt hour. The way things are now, I buy $89 all day. I mean, because the average price you pay in the pool right now is $114 per megawatt hour. And in December, we've seen prices clear up to $144 per megawatt hour. And so, and the way it's kind of looking in the past, we kind of, you always kind of went in to being short, because the pool has always been really good. But now that has swapped. And so now a lot of cities are looking, they might want to go into the pool being long. And so, because they're buying their power cheaper, they already got those allocations, and they're buying the power cheaper than what the pool, and then they can sell more in the pool. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So,
I think it's only going to get worse in the pool.
Yeah, so this paper that I handed out here, this is the paper that we're using for the PCA, the power cost adjustment that we're looking in to, and this is going to have to go through public hearing and all that too. But it's 3 years of history. And so if you look at it, we have our energy costs, our net energy, and then the cost that we pay to UAMPS. And then what we actually brought in to the city and what we sold. And so we were doing pretty good until the last 4 months, September, October, November, December. And that's when everything went out of whack. A lot of that is pertaining to the gas prices right now, going all over the place. And a lot of that is pertaining to just the way the economy is right now. With lead waves and everything that's happening. But we did do pretty good in January. If you look at the very bottom one there, we sold more kilowatt hours than December. We actually came in looking pretty good with the new rate that we just did. And actually prices actually came down a little bit after December. But the way it's fluctuating, it's hard to predict. I mean, it's like all over the place. And so we're doing some different things in UAMPS right now. We're looking at running NEBO as a base load. You know, what's going to be our benefits there? It's usually we have a peaking plan, but what if we run it as a base load and we acquire those allocations in our portfolio? So we're going to kind of mess with that for the next few months and see what happens there. So we're just trying to do a lot of different things, a juggling act with UAMPS and the way the economy's going and the way power prices are going, especially now that they're pushing everything electric and electric cars and stuff like that. It's not going to be cheap. Who's to say what we're going to be paying when this actually comes online. So that's kind of where we're sitting at, but like I said, this resolution needs to be approved through the council, through the city, because there was an ECT failure. $58 was too low to do the project. Now it's bumped up to $89. And there are some stipulations that have to happen this year. This project has to be filled to up to 80%, you know, by the end of this year. If it don't, the project will fail. And the ECT, obviously the ECT will fail. And so they think they might have figured in on $89. And you guys can figure all this out. Good for you guys, because I can't. But it's just talking about how the financing's going. One thing that's pretty interesting here that I want to point out is approximately 1,147 million of the total reimbursements are expected to be received from the Department of Energy. That's quite a bit of money that's going to be coming from the Department of Energy. They really want to see this project succeed. And it's going to come down to, they really, really want to see this project succeed. You know, they're going to have to kind of fork in a little bit more money, in my opinion, because it's not our fault that inflation's gone out of the whack and everything. So we'll see what happens there. And then actually, in here it says that New Scale and Floor are actually taking on some of the responsibility of acquiring to build the project. And so that's not falling on UAMPS anymore. That's actually falling on them. So that really helps us out in a way, because they're trying the ones to go out and sell their product. We're locked in it. And along with all other cities, I was curious why Morgan stepped out, but that's their decision. So, but that's where we're sitting. So, if we want to, we can either increase our share or we can lower our share. And that's a total decision. That's up to you guys as a council.
So. Is that increase or decrease in this resolution, or that's something separate?
It's in this resolution.
Well, I don't think we can decrease it.
No.
If we do,
I wish we had a glass ball to know what we need by the time it comes on.
Yeah, I guarantee you, and I bet you if the way everything keeps going, you're going to sign more than one of these two.
Well, having been up there, Shane talked to him today. Might get Shane to explain what he did to me. If we increase it to two
more. We're at three right now.
We're at three.
Yeah.
So we increase it to five. We have that option, don't we?
We do.
We do. And if it's more than we need, we can sell it on the market.
You can. You can, but you got to be careful too, because if you increase it too much, and the project fails, you're left with a bigger cost thing. You might get the 100% back from New Scale, but there is a cost that is associated with your percentage on the project.
Do we know what that cost is?
I don't.
But I had it down there in that meeting. I can't remember what it was.
I can't either. But yeah, it's based on your percentage of what you have. So you want to be careful that way. And that's why, in my opinion, I think threes seem pretty good. If we do have another, I mean, obviously, we're probably going to have to do this again. In the future, we can look at it then and see if we know the project's going to succeed and it's subscribed. I say, yeah, maybe increase our share then.
You know, if we have that option, will we have that option then?
Yeah, in the future we would, yeah.
Okay.
So this is just, this with an ECT failure, this triggered an off-ramp for the cities. And so there will be another off-ramp come the end of this year, obviously, so the way things are going. but a lot of things have to happen this year if this project's really going to succeed.
Well, this is kind of a dumb question. Do they consider nuclear green energy?
No. They're environmentalists.
It's not.
They're environmentalists, five it all away.
It's the same thing with, they've fought with hydro being green energy, but now they say, yeah, hydro's green energy. And so eventually.
It's not fossil fuel.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but I think you look at all of our other projects, what else is there out there? You know, I've been in the industry for over 20 years, and if you really want something and a base load, you know, coal was a thing back then, but now they're hitting on gas, and then who's to say they're going to, you know, get rid of the gas or whatever? I don't think it's going to happen, but again, I don't know.
Well, I think gas is just going to keep going like this.
Oh, yeah, and that's the problem.
Natural gas.
The fluctuation in gas. And I see with this nuclear project, it uses the same type of fuel, as you guys are aware of, as these bigger nuclear projects. So we're locked in on fuel. So that's not going to, we shouldn't really see any issues in there. And that's the problem we're running into the gas, is with the fluctuation and the way it's kind of going.
Yeah, if they want gas out of your house, there's one way to get it out of your house. Make it so you can't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just knowing the way the government's been working, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting what we're seeing nowadays on the whole energy market. I've never seen it this volatile in the 20 years I've been in there. I mean, you can see from September through December, you know, that really hurt us. But one thing I want to point out, you look on that second page and you look at our hydro usage, what was produced, your monthly kilowatt hours, and then going up. This is money we would have had to spend in the market if we were to that hydro's to save us.
Yeah.
And so that makes a big difference. What I would like to see, and I gotta get with Dave on this, is see some of this money, you know, kind of go into our reserves, the kind of a percentage of that that's saved through the hydros, if it's not going towards hydro maintenance, going in to build our reserves. We're supposed to have $2.1 million in our reserves. We don't have that. And so we're not even close to that. And so we have to build that up. And so that's what we're working with UFS on, with this power cost adjustment and with everything. Hopefully we can get it all steadied out through there.
Yeah, you told me today we actually lost money on what we charged and what we had to pay.
4 months, yeah, it really hurt us.
We lost over $100,000 last month.
We just need a motion on this.
Yeah.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2023-01.
I'll second it.
Yeah, the motion by Sam, second by Russ, to approve resolution 2023-01, resolution approving the continuation of participation entitlement share under the Carbon Free Power Project Fire Sales Contract for Phase 1B of the licensing period for the Carbon Free Power Project and related matters. Roll call.
Yeah. I didn't say it that much.
I know it.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
So that's staying with the 3 meg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Staying right there. So yeah, we just need to do that first resolution. It's this one here. This one back here is... This one back here was for...
I meant to pull that one out,
but I was
a little
over. Oh, you're good. Sorry. I'm glad you had both of them. So. Okay, if you guys have any questions on this, I thought this was interesting. This is what we're talking about with UFS for the PCA. And so I'm going to continue to keep history like this so we can kind of see where we're sitting comparing to what we're puts you in some with the public and stuff like that. Okay, thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Shane. All right, next is resolution 2023-02. A resolution approving the form of lease purchase agreement with Zions Bank Corporation, NA, Salt Lake City, Utah, and authorizing the expense and delivery thereof. So this is for the truck that we approved for Jim.
Oh, okay.
Last city council. Zions Bank is making it, put it as a resolution, is basically what it is.
Okay, so they can make sure they get their money, I guess, maybe, I don't know.
Just loopholes that Zions Bank makes you jump through, you can borrow their money. But to lease it, however that works.
That's weird. That's why I was wondering what this was, I was reading.
But that's what it's for.
What good, I would like to know what good it does then to have a resolution. What's the difference if you get your money?
I don't know.
See, I guess that was approved by the governing body, and they want.
You have to give them this paperwork back.
Yeah.
I got a 35-page thing to go through and have the mayor sign and Jeannie sign and me to sign and there's substantial paperwork.
So lease a pickup truck.
We're gonna have to circumvent that, Dave. Send, give me a check and I'll go up and buy it and you can purchase it from me.
Well, if this has to be done, I'll make a motion where you approve resolution 2023-02. Resolution approving the form of the lease purchase agreement with Zions Bank Corporation, Salt Lake City, Utah, and authorizing execution and delivery thereof.
And I will second.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn, to approve resolution 2023-02, resolution approving the form of the lease purchase agreement with Zions Bank Corporation, NA, Salt Lake City, Utah, and authorizing and executing the delivery thereof. Roll call.
Sam.
You trying to keep me awake?
Yeah, Rondi.
Yes.
Paul.
Yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
And Lynn.
Yes.
That's a hard one, guys. Bunch of BS.
Yes, it is.
Do we have anybody on public participation?
Steve asked if he could.
Okay.
I'll just talk from right here. My ears perked up when you had the item on your agenda about the rat tax. I want to make you guys aware that you have an absolute treasure that meets every Sunday night in Mount Pleasant. In the Sanpete Valley Choral Arts Society. And I did calculations just this week on how much in-kind contributions are contributed by the members of that group. They had over 1,600 hours in rehearsal time. And 200 hours in performance time. 50% of this choir comes from Mount Pleasant, and then the rest comes from the surrounding communities. It is one of the most excellent choirs in the state. Dr. Ellison's portion of this is the Easter offering. It's been going on now, we're in our 39th year. I started the Sanpete Valley Singers in 2000, so we're in our 22nd year. We had to take a year off because of COVID. But there's an increment that was mentioned in the RAPTAC for the arts. I got to tell you, we made a decision as a choir a year and a half ago when we combined the two groups, Dr. Ellison's choir and my choir, into one group, that we would completely stop using illegally copied music and use only original purchased music. That decision has cost us, in the last year and a half, almost $4,000 just in being able to purchase music. We don't charge for our concerts. We don't have, you know, any income generating sources from our people here. We rely entirely
on community's support. And it all happens right here in Mount Pleasant. We rehearse here, we perform here, and then we do work with the people in the Heritage Highway area for concerts and community concerts in the area in Fountain Green, and we went down to the Manti Tabernacle this year. But I want you to know that that choir is recognized as one of the finest choirs that Utah has, and as you consider rap tax distribution, we would so much appreciate your consideration of including our choirs in an increment of that rap tax. Now, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
So part of the way the rap tax works is that once this committee now gets meeting, we have a form that whoever wants to apply, in your situation, they apply to the committee.
I see.
The committee then looks at everybody that's submitted. They make the recommendation to the city council. The city council is initially the approving body of that tax fund.
Very good. Just for your own information, if you want to see how good they are, come out to the State Center, the Yellow Church, on April 2nd, Palm Sunday, and that's our Easter offering, annual Easter offering program for the community.
Where can people go to just to give donations?
We're a nonprofit. They can contact me. I'm the president or any of the officers.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks.
I got a question. What's the name of your choir? I missed that part.
The choir overall is called the Sanpete Valley Choral Arts Society.
Okay.
Arts Society. I sang in that one year.
Yeah?
They kicked me out.
You were born in five.
We'd invite y'all to even come sing with us.
You don't want that for you.
Council reports. Paul, what do you have?
I really don't have much anything. Spring cleanup coming up. It's going to be a while, yeah.
Be here before we know it, though.
Yeah, it will.
I don't know what's on a chair. I'm sick and tired. It's cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
As far as that water line, have you really been? What do you want to do? Did we decide? The city crew going to do it or what?
I think we decided we're going to do it in-house.
We're going to do it in-house, but I still worry about how much time they've got to help. So that's my concern.
I've got time.
Well, on the other side of that water line, and with Bob, $15 an hour is pretty cheap labor. I think he needs to have a little raise. I would propose $20 an hour for him at the least. That's below what they pay construction-wise by quite a bit. And Bob's good help. Bob, he puts it in. I've watched him.
Yeah, he does.
But
for a 75-year-old guy,
yeah,
he does good.
And I would just, you know, I'd take care of him because he's been there for Paul, and Paul's needed some help, and he's been there for this city. So that's just a proposal from me. You kick it around. I don't know what it costs you. $5 an hour for a week's what? 40 hours, it cost you an extra $200 on the pipeline. But that's just, I'm always an advocate for making sure people are taken care of. And that's not just like Bob, it's for the city employees and everything else.
And I really don't need the work. I actually don't want it, but if it's going to save us $20,000 to $30,000, it's a no-brainer to me.
Like I says, I just know Colton is very concerned with
having enough manpower to do it. With Rader, like I said, Rader's on, I don't know how long he's taken off with his baby.
And we are starting a lot of projects.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man, Paul can do it.
I have no problem with you doing it, Paul.
No.
It's just, I don't want to go out and, I mean, I'm not looking for the work.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned about the money.
Yeah.
And if it alleviates, you know, some pressure up for Public Works. Because they've got a lot of holes to patch.
Oh, yeah, I do, I understand that.
They do, they're changing out meters still, they're...
So I'm all for it, I mean, if it's something you want to do.
Well, you're getting two things. You're getting it done for less, and it frees up Public Works.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get with Culver, and I'll get materials ordered.
I'll tell you what, nobody will ever forge me.
He's down the state.
I don't got that good hair.
No, all three of them signatures, and they're one different.
And I know he's talked to somebody on...
I got this plastic brush.
I think who he's talked to.
Yeah, I don't think I do the same every time either. Mine's all over, it's scribbles. I think you got one more there.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to take them away from you.
For you.
Lynn, what do you have?
Oops.
Going to the rec center, so... Russ?
Well, we pretty well went over everything that I had with the pool and everything. Of course, the plastering is coming up and everything. It sounds like Brittany's probably going to be gone for 1 week of that. And I don't know whether she's going to be up there overseeing or not, but I'll make my way up there. And see, you know, when that starts, I'll try to even make it a daily tour. Just see what's going on up there. But, other than that, I was up to talk to Shane today. We fixed all the problems of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, when you think about, we got a coal-fired power plant sitting over there that's running just about nothing. And it's the one that you asked, got the big majority in, because they can't get the coal. Because our coal's going overseas to other places. I said to Shane today, there needs to be an intervention. Our governor needs to get in the middle of that and say, oh, no, 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 no.
Where is this? Where is our limit?
Yeah, we've got to take care of our own needs here. California's down now, they're making charge their cars at different times in different parts of the city for them electric cars, because they don't have the power to charge a car.
But yet they're going to all be electric cars pretty soon.
But yet they got a power plant sitting over here that can shove some power down to them. That's sitting there and running about a quarter load, they're just keeping it warm is all they're doing.
They're going to be worse than that. I was talking to a guy that we just hired that he run for Birmingham. And see, they're not allowing semis that are even less than 10 years old going into California. If they don't meet a certain standard emission, if they're with like less than 5 years old, they won't let them through into California.
That's part of our whole transportation problems, because it can't get stuff off the port.
So
what they're doing is they're bringing semis to the Vegas line or the Nevada line and switching semis.
I tell you right now, you go out there and look on the highway, I can tell you 90% of them ain't emissions all.
They import more power than any other state.
They'll starve themselves to death, and they're either there to inject their price or so high.
They're being built up in Portland, Oregon.
Well, that's why I told them.
We just running up the coast.
I don't know if Portland's in Birmingham.
Which, well, I know Birmingham's not as bad, but I'd do something. There'd be a new port somewhere where we could just shut that one down, and we'd say, now how many semis are going on in here? There's ways to handle it.
There is.
On the UAMPS Executive Committee, Kaisel wants UAMPS to join, which is Kaisel runs the power and all that in California, so the transmission group and all that. But I, and the CEO of UAMPS was like that too. He said, hey, no, we're going to stay with the Western. We don't want to get involved with
California.
It's just getting ugly.
Politics. Corruption.
Oh, it's so...
It's terrible.
That's it. Now that I've stirred everything up I can, that's all I have.
One thing I did want to ask, if you'd be the city councilman rep for that
map tax can be too.
Need a rep for it?
So like you'll just go to meet, you'll just meet with them when they meet.
Now, let me know.
And then you bring it back to the city council with their proposal, basically.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Rondi?
So we, with our, that road management tool we've got from Sunrise Engineering, they've updated our roadmap. We added 3 or 4 miles of paved road.
2.67 miles, I'd say.
Close to 3 miles of paved road. Just update, or with that roadmap being updated, and then we've submitted that map to UDOT, and they've approved it for funding. So we should be getting BSAT Class B and C road funds. So that's been taken care of. And that road management tool, it's available and it's up and running. So we had a meeting last Friday when we started talking about Aspen Village, and they kind of ran us through it, how to use it, you know, and I think all we're missing now is a username and password. Maybe we have that since then, but.
They started to get me logged in, they might have changed it. So we're pretty close to that, but we're still, they're pretty gonna try to get that historical data for us too.
Yeah, and so what they're doing with this management tool is Justin Atkinson has years and years of valuable data through the old iWorks program. We're getting that transferred over to this road management tool through Sunrise. Because that data is invaluable, that, you know, when the road was built, what type of material was used, and, you know, just great information. We're getting that added to the program. And then we'll have to go through and do an analysis, basically, on all our roads. There's work to do there. But I think it's going to save us money, and, you know, we can do it in-house, anything we want with that. You know, information on our roads, we don't have to call a 1-800 number and have someone else do it for us. So this is great. We got it up and running now, so. And then a lot of patching to do, obviously. That's going to be top priority for a while, I think. I think what we're going to end up having to look at is using some of next year's road budget to get some road work done this year. Because I think what we have available this year is going to end up being tied up into Aspen Village. And it's frustrating because this irrigation project really is held as hostage. And I think we all realize that it was going to happen later than sooner. And so we haven't been aggressive about going after road funds because we've been wanting to see the system get installed. And I think we're kind of losing patience.
Well, the nice thing is one of our road deals get paid off
2025. I did talk with Bryce, they do have enough for that preliminary engineering kind of done where they could give us, you know, some of those critical points where put in some pipe in those intersections and stuff, so we could proceed with a master plan for roads and drainage. And about that time, that study being done, the road debt would be off. And so I think in 2 years, we could look at going to like the CIB board for a major street project.
Isn't that UDOT money available this fall for the road?
That's available that way, or
road master plan.
CIB a lot of times will just 100% fund that, or 75-80% too. So
I was going to say, I know UDOT has it usually in the fall that we can apply and get the road mastery plan. And that's probably what we really seriously need to do this fall.
Yeah, I'm with Rondi. I think we get aggressive with it.
It's time to go after some money, I think. Yeah. It's not going to just come out of our budget. We're way too far behind. There's way too much work to do, and we're going to need some funding sources. So we'll never get caught up with. Yeah. Anyway. We're getting to the point where there's some real urgency, I feel like.
Yeah.
And maybe we've already been to that point, but man, I can't believe what's happened to our roads this winter.
Well, we got to get some of the drainage issues. That's really the
just been brutal.
Too much water running down our roads.
There's a lot of center street up there.
There's roads that are newer roads that water running down that we need to go in with a grader and cut back out.
Yeah.
Fifth South up there by the school is getting ruined quick. On the edge, if you look on the north edge, it's chewing the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Another year or two and it'll be redoing that whole road again. So.
Anyway.
Just need to take a grader and cut it back.
That's all I really have to report there, but we're excited to have that map submitted and approved to UDOT for more road funds and having our management tool available to use, so.
Good. Sam, what do you have?
Not a whole lot. Got a lot of guys going to Fire 1 too. We did another class. We've got about four or five guys going down to that, getting certified, so. Been fairly busy. Had quite a few calls. Got a call again, apparently while we're here, but.
Yeah, as I said, they come back, I noticed.
So, it's been staying consistent. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot. Pretty much nothing.
Okay.
We never did really figure anything out. Did we ever find anything more on the industrial park of what to do? Kinda out there where we talked before. Did they ever figure anything out on the people in the elementary school?
I need to ask Jim again, cause we gave that to him to take it by, so I need to double check on that.
I seen they had, I don't know what the heck they were doing. They had some big truck they were doing something with the other day up there. I don't know what they were doing. It was, I don't know if they were moving all sorts of, it looked like, I don't know if it was new stuff in there. I couldn't tell what they were doing, but. Hopefully we can get them out of there before they make it worse.
I will check, cause he was supposed to take the citation around.
I know that they are, because this weekend's kind of a long weekend. I know that the Pleasant Creek is closed, I believe Thursday. The whole school district is taking Friday and Monday, but they're taking Thursday, Friday and Monday because they said there was something going on up there that they're separating the power or something. Do you know anything about it? Let me see if I can find it.
Unless they're doing it.
Yeah.
Are they doing that internally? They're probably doing that internally, ain't they, between the buildings?
Yeah.
How are they doing that with the water? They'd have to separate water too, wouldn't they? Cause they're only getting one bill.
Yeah.
Cause there's only one meter for that whole building. So I guess that'd bring up a question, is it, who does the meter?
New impact fee for both water and sewer.
So who does the existing one go to? The old school?
It goes to the Pleasant Creek.
No, the old one would go with the old elementary, doesn't it? Cause isn't that where the service goes in?
But I have a lot of services over towards the new part.
It's the new part, or the new part of the gym. I know they ran the new water line out there wanting the service.
So the old would go with the old.
Yep. I will talk to Jim though on that.
I'm still working on setting up a meeting to meet with that other mess out there.
Out on Fifth North?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's another mess.
Do you have something scheduled on Tuesday to go set stuff up for?
Did it?
What?
Is our power department scheduled to go out there and just set it up? It says that Tuesday the school will be closed while the power company sets up the new setup for us.
Oh, that's Custom Electric.
Okay.
That's doing it.
So, and I don't know Dave, I was talking to Dave, I talked to State Fire Marshal on that building. And he said a lot of it can go back to your city ordinance. Where you're not allowed to live, have like rentals or living in the ordinance of commercial. I don't know did you ever look to see how that was worded? So you can't have anybody living in a commercial zone.
Building.
Yeah.
It's not specified, you could change it.
So we may want to look at, as council, maybe we probably ought to look really.
How does Main Street come with the apartments?
Main Street, see, that's different. In a historic commercial zone, so we could leave that one.
Yeah, it's.
What about like the mental health motel up there?
I believe that's actually still in the historic, it may still be in part of that overlay zone. I have to check. I don't remember how far south it goes.
But that would relieve a lot of our headaches from people.
Industrial park.
Industrial. So we really ought to look at that ordinance and revamp it. But the state fire marshal said that majority of cities, that's the way it is. They absolutely no living in commercial zones. So it would definitely be worth probably looking into.
How's Manor out there? Is it in a commercial zone?
I don't know.
Was it no living or was it no like?
Well.
There's nobody in there right now.
Well, it'd be interesting to get an ordinance from a different city that has that, see how they're gonna word it.
I think we'd want to at least specify no mixed usage, like.
Yeah, for sure.
Cohabitating.
Business and a restaurant and a.
Yeah.
And a rental.
So basically it's the mixed use in the same building.
Yeah, but what's that?
Her name is Lillian Samisky. That's opening it.
Samisky.
Samisky.
But anyway, that's all I got.
Couple things I got. We did get notice today on our EIS, which is good for the irrigation and good funding.
I would assume it was approval then.
That's what I'm assuming too. I'm hoping. We didn't get all the.
How much are they funded for?
$750,000 for the engineering part of it.
Oh, the engineering.
But if they funded that as under the EIS, that's a very good sign that it got approved.
So how much is it raised? Do you know? How much more?
Go to the EIS, there's no cap. The federal government doesn't have a cap. That's been the nice thing. If we get that approved, we're no longer capped at $25 million. They'll keep helping us on up.
Boy, sure, I'd like to see some dirt move up there.
Yeah.
Citizens would too.
Yeah. The new well is in the works. They're supposed to start mobilizing to start running that new pipeline. They're projected to be done the 1st of June.
Did they get all their permits done?
How far are they taking?
How far?
How far is it from down there to where they're taking it to?
About 3 miles.
That's piping the water from Sneed Springs down to our treatment plant.
No, that's not what we want.
Oh, okay.
Irrigation park, coming up to the park.
Okay.
Yep.
Nate, are they running out of existing right of ways or do we have to redo right of ways?
They're existing other than UDOT coming in Spring City Road.
They have to bore across the highway, ain't they?
Yes, both highways.
Yeah.
They gotta make 3 different attempts of different boring before they'll let them open cut it.
Hopefully they get their permits done too.
So.
You think George would give you 3 months to run 3 miles?
I know. Time to mobilize. I don't think they'll mobilize like Taylor.
I worked for George, I know.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then that smoking ordinance. Everybody have a chance to look that one?
I read that, yeah, I did read that.
We ought to do maybe a tentatively set a date for.
Public hearing on it.
Public hearing on that and the other 2 or 3 things we've got.
What ordinance is that?
Smoking in.
Smoking ordinance.
On the first two, our first meeting on Tuesday in March or second.
Did we check into the legality of that? What can we do?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin's looked into it. Kevin's looked into it. He says we're legal the way it is. So the way he's got it real, or he did make some minor changes to it. So he says we are legal. He says the best thing with it is a warning on the first offense, which is part of what makes it legal or something that way.
Yeah, that's why, because we're public property, boy, that we're liable to get hit with some.
Well, the worst thing, I don't know, I think he still left it as all public ground, because my concern was the highway, the roads.
Well, he put it, because I read it, and he was talking about, I guess the original one had time frames or something from 8 to 4 or something. Now he's got it to where it's any hour.
Yeah, because that's.
Because I know he changed, I was reading it on the change, on the changes.
They cover vaping too?
Yeah, I can't call that.
They love to vape out there.
He did say in the very bottom, it said that he has no doubt that it wouldn't hold up constitutionally, blah, blah, all his legal stuff. I don't know how y'all worded it, but it did say that.
That's another one that will have to have the public hearing, so that's what, when me and, I was talking with Jeannie with these three or four, it'd be nice to just do one public hearing.
Yeah.
And you could have like, you know, this ordinance at this time, then 5, 10 minutes, 5 minutes later, we could have the next one and the next one and the next one. Do it all in one night. Would the preference be the first one in March or the last one? Worst thing is with RDA, the first one, that makes it tough to.
Yeah, we have a hard time.
That's why I was gonna suggest the 28th.
Should we shoot for the 28th of March?
That way you don't, you can hold it when you normally would hold RDA.
Okay, so just even in your schedules, just kind of.
Tentatively do that.
Tentatively put it for 6 o'clock. Have those public hearings and go right into city council. I don't have anything else. I think that's all I have.
Motion to adjourn?
Yep. All favor?
I was waiting for somebody else. Good job.
Getting late. Hopefully comes early.
Yeah, I was going across to the Noah Flats the other morning at 5:00, and it was 4 below.
Oh, it's cold. It's been cold.
Yeah. But in the morning, it's supposed to be way cold.
Yeah.